I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I see sounds when I hear them. I guess my sight and my hearing are kind of crosswired. For me, you know, I'll hear a chord on a piano, and my brain will say, that's green, or that's purple.
Hello, you're listening to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. This is Bob Shoy, and with me as always...
Beef.
With a mouthful of grapes, and Tiss...
Tissy!
Doing his hair.
Did you say, and I'm the Unexplainable?
I don't know, I rushed it, I slurred it.
I'm Weird Tales.
I just dropped a grape on the...
Hello, you're listening to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. This is Bob Shoy.
I'm the Unexplainable.
I am the Eggman.
And this is Beef.
Following on from last week's delve back into the human brain, we're delving back into the human brain.
Still.
You may remember way back on episode number... Eight, I think.
Shit, not that.
Episode number 8, Tiss did the psychedelic experience.
Yes.
And during that episode, we talked a little bit about synesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, we got a really interesting email from someone who actually suffers from synesthesia. So we thought it'd be a good opportunity to do like a little mini episode where we take a look at what synesthesia is and then talk to this guy. So let's...
Sounds good.
Take a look at what synesthesia is and then talk to this guy.
Okay. What is synesthesia?
Okay, well, I did a little bit of research today, guys.
Well done. Show off.
The word synesthesia comes from the ancient Greek words for together and sensation.
Hmm.
So synesthesia roughly means a union of the senses.
Hmm.
So basically it's where your senses get mixed up, right?
Right.
A common example of this would be grapheme colour synesthesia.
Okay.
Which is where you see letters and numbers as colours, right?
Wow.
So I'm going to show you a picture of an example of that.
Oh, cool.
So what you might see... So say something was written just in black and white, but you might see every S in red...
Okay.
Every Y in green.
And that's your form of synesthesia.
Yeah, you might always associate certain colours with certain letters or numbers. So you could look at the word synesthesia and it would look like this.
Oh, okay.
Huh.
And all these pictures would be on the blog.
Is that coloured or am I just seeing that?
No, that's in black and white, mate.
No, that's...
Fuck off.
So I've got... I'm going to read a little bit from the Wikipedia. So yeah, you might see letters and numbers perceived as colour like that. And there's another type called spatial sequence synesthesia. Or number form synesthesia, where numbers, months of the year, and or days of the week elicit precise locations in space, right?
Oh, maybe I haven't heard of this.
For example, 1980 may be farther away than 1990.
Mm.
When you envisage these numbers, they're actually in a space in your brain, and they seem further away when you think of these numbers.
Wow.
Yeah. It may even appear as a three-dimensional map in your brain, numbers and letters, the way the distance they are from each other.
That's...
So the alphabet appearing in a 3D plane in your head, or numbers.
What, and you envisage...
And, or they can even be looped clockwise or counterclockwise in your brain.
Okay.
You might envisage the alphabet as a big circle in your brain that runs clockwise.
Kind of like Sherlock's mind.
Yeah, maybe. Synesthetic associations can occur in any combination and any number of senses or cognitive pathways. So I'm going to play a little video.
Okay.
Which is a guy called Jamie Ward, who is the professor of cognitive science. Okay?
Okay.
And he's going to just briefly explain a little bit about synesthesia.
So people with synesthesia experience the ordinary world in quite extraordinary ways. So some people, when they're listening to me speaking now, every word would have its own colour and they might be floating in space as coloured words. Other people, when they're listening to music, might see dancing textures and shapes moving in time with the music. Other people, when they're listening to me speaking, might be feeling an ebb and flow of tastes on their mouth. So maybe the word mouth tastes salty, maybe the word ebb tastes like a sausage sandwich or something like this. So it's a very extraordinary experience. But people with synesthesia have had this for all their lives, so it's perfectly normal to have synesthesia if this is your only way of experiencing the world. And you kind of take for granted your own experiences of the world and you assume that everybody else has them. And it's only when you turn around somebody and say, well, what colour is Monday for you, that you realise, hang on, not everybody thinks that Monday has a colour. So people with synesthesia, we can define it as having an extra experience. It's kind of outside of their control, so they can't switch it on or off in the same as we can't switch our own kind of vision on or off. We can close our eyes, but we can't switch it on or off otherwise. And also they're defined as being kind of consciously experienced percepts. They're a little bit like a percept. And that's how we would think of a definition of synesthesia.
So there you go.
Seems to explain pretty well what it is.
Yeah, there are two main forms of it. Mm. So what I've done is I've just spent this afternoon researching it and I've just broken it all down, simple as possible, sort of introduced us into this stuff. But there are two main forms, projective synesthesia and associative synesthesia.
Right.
Projective, you would actually see the colours or forms and shapes when stimulated.
Okay.
And associative is you would just associate certain ideas or other things. So like you might associate a certain word with a certain taste.
Right.
But some of it you would actually taste. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
So it's kind of hard to explain what I mean by that because there's so many different forms of it.
Mm.
But if the example I'm giving is taste, you associate words with tastes. Yeah.
Mm.
I could say cupboard and the cupboard might make you think of the taste of bananas.
Yeah.
Or it might actually make you feel like you're tasting bananas. And that's the difference between associative and projective synesthesia.
Huh.
Okay?
Yep.
Now I'm going to go into the most common types of it. So like I said at the beginning, the grapheme colour one, which is the letters and numbers as colours.
Mm.
There's chromesthesia.
Okay.
Where sounds are associated with colours or you see colours when you hear things.
Right.
There's spatial sequence, which is what I said about the points in space.
Yeah.
There's number form, where numbers appear like a map, like I said at the beginning. And I'm going to show you an image of what that might look like. So this is a sequence of numbers.
Right.
1, 6, 10, 12, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. These are the numbers on this sequence. But this is how someone with that form of synesthesia might see that set of numbers in their head.
Okay.
They'll just create a map of it in their head. In their head, they'll experience that sequence of numbers. They could in that way or any way. Like they'll just form a pattern or a map with a sequence.
Huh.
Again, these pictures will all be on the blog.
That's pretty surreal.
Yeah.
And it's like hard to explain what I think of that.
I do associate some things with other things, but probably not to that degree.
But not, yeah, I think this is more like all the time, you know?
Yeah, not all the time, though. No. Maybe when I was a kid. When I was a kid, definitely.
Well, that's interesting.
Certain things with other things.
Because if they say what causes it, I'm just going to read this from Science Museum website. What causes synesthesia?
Mm-hmm.
Scientists are studying synesthesia to understand how the human brain works. Different areas of the brain handle information from different senses. What mixes the senses up in the brains of people with synesthesia? It may be that as a newborn baby, we all experience synesthesia, but by the age of 4 months, the senses have been wired up to the correct parts of the brain. Perhaps people with synesthesia have some cross-wiring left over from that process.
Mm.
So that's the most likely explanation that scientists got, but still they don't really know.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
I'll just go back to the different forms that I had before. There's auditory tactile synesthesia, where certain sounds can create certain feelings in the body.
Right.
And that leads on to misophonia. We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
Which is negative experience triggered by certain sounds.
Mm.
The one before, sorry... the auditory tactile one. By that, I mean they could hear something and it would actually feel like a touch, like a feeling on their body.
Whoa.
Or in their body.
It's like superpowers.
Yeah. There's ordinal linguistic personification, or OLP. I'm just going to read that one because I can't remember what it means.
I'm trying to get my head around all of this.
Okay. It's a form of synesthesia in which ordered sequences, such as ordinal numbers, weekday names, month, or alphabetical letters are associated with personalities and or genders. For example, the number 2 might be a young boy with a short temper. The letter G might be a busy mother with a kind face. So that's a very strange form.
See, and I was thinking, like, they're quite specific definitions as well. I was thinking,
it's not just like masculine or feminine.
Yeah, yeah. It's of like, yeah, a young mother with a caring face.
Yeah.
Whoa.
This is an interesting one. Mirror touch synesthesia, which is if you see someone else being touched, you can feel the same thing that they feel on your body.
Mm.
So if I see someone come on and tap you on the shoulder, I might feel like someone's tapping me on the shoulder because I've seen it happen to you. You get the mirrored feeling that someone else is getting.
Wow.
That's really strange.
David Blaine did that once.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I read that. Yeah, he was doing that.
He was doing that on the latest one he did.
Yeah, it was either the latest one, the one before.
Will Smith and that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx. That's who was doing it. I was thinking of,
Oh, right.
Yeah, he was like making them close their eyes and then like tapping like his daughter. He was doing Jamie Foxx's daughter.
Yeah.
And he was like doing something, and then he was like, "What did you feel?" He's like, "Oh, you blew on my ear or something." He's like,
and she was, and like, everyone was just like, "Oh!"
Because he was doing it on his daughter.
Oh yeah, no, I think I've seen that.
Yeah. There's a couple more. Lexical gustatory synesthesia, where certain words will trigger certain tastes, which I mentioned before, and spatio-temporal syndrome, which is similar to the number map, but it's time as a map. Like days, weeks, months, years as a map. You visit as a map in your head. And then, you know, there's plenty of other forms that don't have specific names, like smell and colour, flavour and colour, month and flavour, sound and flavour, visual and tactile, pain and colour, personality and colour, like it goes on and on.
Whoa. So varied.
So, yeah, it's so varied. It could just any two senses, it seems, that crosswire.
Wow.
I'm trying to rush through because I know this guy's calling in, like, 8 minutes, in which I got like ground to cover.
Yeah.
There's tests, loads of tests online that you can take to see if you might have synesthesia.
Okay. We can do it now.
Well, there are just little tests. Let's do it. I've got one that's like a little video. It's like 10 seconds.
Let's do it.
And all it says is, "Can you hear anything?" It's a soundless video, but it's when you look at this, do you hear anything? So I'll do the test, and then I'll get you to come around and do it to
like,
you.
Like actually hear something.
Yeah. Do you feel like you can hear something when I show you this video? So it's full screen. So I'll just show this to Tiss.
I'll take my hat off so I can hear it properly.
If you think that will enhance your hearing.
Shouts to Amber Luna.
Yeah, I already did it. Shouts to Amber Luna.
We did that last week, dude.
Okay, here we go. Okay, watch the following animation. Do you hear anything? Did you?
Not really, no.
No, I didn't. People with hearing motion synesthesia would hear sounds when they look at that video.
I could definitely imagine the sound that would be in there, but not.
To me, the sound I'd imagine hearing... Well, let's show it to Beef. Come around here. Because maybe Beef's got synesthesia all this time and he never knew. You ready?
I didn't hear anything, like, auditory, but I did... I could imagine... I felt like I could vividly hear the noise in my head that it was making.
What would you say you heard it as,
Tiss? A whooshing sound.
A whooshing sound. To me, it sounded more like popcorn popping.
Really?
I would imagine it to be more like popcorn.
Mine was more like a...
Wow. So Beef's at the circus. I'm at the cinema and Tiss on the beach.
I'm always on the beach.
So there have been examples of famous artists who suffer from synesthesia and actually using it in their artwork. A very famous example of that is a guy called Vasily Kandinsky. He suffered from... I say suffer, he experienced synesthesia where he could see sound.
Right, wow.
So he would do a lot of his paintings whilst listening to music and paint what he was experiencing or be influenced by what he was experiencing with that. So I'll get up a few of his images and you can sort of see what I mean by that. So this is some of his pieces that he did whilst listening and trying to incorporate what he was hearing as a visual stimulus.
Wow.
But yeah, he's done loads of these. He did hundreds and hundreds. He's very famous for this. Want to see some of these, Beef?
Yeah, I love it. It's pretty cool. So he could see this as he was...
He would be influenced by... He would listen to music or whatever and be influenced by what he was hearing, which is why some are very different. Like, that's quite rigid compared to that, which is very chaotic. It's like different styles of music probably as he was listening to it, different colour tones.
More like abstract.
Yeah, like, that could be... For example, that could be jazz.
Mm.
That could be, like, country music. You know, that could be heavy metal. Do you know what I mean? They're different, but... You can tell they're the same artist, but it's influenced by different sound stimuli.
Yeah.
He used it to his advantage, you know?
Why not?
So that's sort of an overview of what synesthesia is.
Yeah.
Now, in a couple of minutes, we've got a guy calling in from America.
Awesome.
Who has synesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
And his name's Greg. And we can talk to him about it and see what he's experienced with it.
It's pretty cool. I'd like to hear a first-hand account.
Yeah, so think of your questions, what you need to ask. I didn't go into too much detail, so you still have things to ask.
I don't really know until he tells us.
The obvious thing to ask is, like, what's it like?
What's it like? Oh, where's he on?
Here we go.
Oh.
Hello.
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 Hey, guys.
Hey, it's Greg, isn't it?
Yeah, how you doing?
We're okay, thanks.
All right, good. Yeah, I haven't used Skype in a while. Can you see me?
I can see you, yeah. Me and Tis can see you. Beast on the other side.
Hey, man.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So you emailed me in November.
Right.
About synesthesia.
Yeah, I just heard one of your earlier episodes from, I think, when you first started the psychedelics.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
Kind of gave a general synesthesia shout out, and I said, hey, I have synesthesia.
So, yeah.
Here we are.
So what form of synesthesia do you have?
I see sounds when I hear them.
Oh, wow. Wow, okay.
Yeah, I guess my sight and my hearing are kind of crosswired. And, you know, there are all kinds of different ones, as I'm sure you guys are aware.
Yeah, we've just sort of spent the last 20 minutes sort of roughly going over what we know about it.
Oh, cool.
So we looked at a few different types, but I couldn't remember what type you had. So, yeah, that's really interesting.
Sure.
And so has it been, like, your whole life?
Oh, yeah, no, as long as I can remember when I was a kid. And, you know, it took some time before I realized that it's not something that everybody has. You know, when I was a kid, what do I know? I was maybe 10 or 11 the first time I actually, I think I was having a conversation with my dad about something we were listening to, and I commented on how it looked, and he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, what do you mean? So, and you know, this is before the internet, where you can hop online and then Google what the hell's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, my folks just thought I was a weird kid, I was making stuff up. So it wasn't for another 5 or 6 years probably until I first heard the term synesthesia. I didn't really know what it was until I was a teen, and you know, I mentioned it to the doctors the first time, and they said nothing to worry about. And it definitely manifested over the years. It's stronger now than it was when I was a kid.
Right. So it's what you say. You think it's getting stronger?
It has. It's gotten a lot stronger since I was a kid. A lot more focused. I see things in shapes and colors when I hear them.
Right.
And I got into playing music from a real young age. I started on the piano when I was maybe 7 or 8. And I can't read music. I play by ear because of the synesthesia. You have what's called perfect pitch, which is where you can identify notes just by listening to them, tell what they are without any kind of frame of reference.
Right.
I don't have that. Then there's relative pitch, which is where you can listen to two notes and determine their interval, their distance from each other. And my synesthesia helps me with that because I can see the distance between the notes when I hear them.
Wow, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Do you think it helps you play music? But yeah, so, wow, that's amazing.
it's so
cool. For someone who doesn't have it, obviously none of us do, it's so hard for us to get our head around.
Yeah.
I know. I spent my whole life trying to figure out how to explain it to people. It's really difficult.
And it must be the first thing that everyone says as well. Like, what's it like? You know, you don't know any different.
Yeah. It kind of sounds as well like you're your very own metronome. Like, I can't even imagine. So help me to understand, like, and forgive me for what might be a very simplistic question. But is it every sound, or is it specific sounds? So like people talking, or is it just music, or what kind of sounds is it?
It's everything, but
wow,
the way that I see different sounds differs just like the way that you hear different sounds. You know, if you're listening to voices in the background and you're not really paying attention to them, you can kind of phase them out just like I phase them out. You know, I'm not looking at everything at the same time.
Okay. So what about our voices right now? Is that, like, I've got to ask, we're all thinking it.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. The voices are usually browns and yellows and purples for me.
Whoa, that's amazing.
What kind of shapes is it?
You know, I get voices are usually kind of wavelengths for me. You ever look at like an audio wavelength with, you know, ups and downs? Very fluid. Most music is that way for me too, where it kind of spikes with percussive sound.
I was wondering, can it ever be like a negative thing? Say something's quite like a scary sound or a horrific sound. Can the visuals intensify that to make that even worse?
Sure. I'd say probably 9 times out of 10. If I'm listening to something that sounds pleasing, it looks pleasing.
Yeah.
There are times where that's not the case. You know, there have been times where I'd be, you know, hanging with my friends in high school and something would come on the radio that they all hated, but I thought it was pretty, or I thought it was, I found an appeal to it that they couldn't hear. But more often than not, if it sounds bad, it looks bad.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Yeah. So if you don't like something, you really like doubly don't like it. You got two senses exactly. that are disliking it.
Twice as well, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking now of like even things like dogs barking, and like you associate memories with things because you have a negative experience with them. So, yeah, sure. do you have anything like that? Any specific memories from when you were younger where it kind of resurfaces every now and then, and when you hear that sound, it brings you back to that memory?
You know, the ocean, actually. I loved being at the beach when I was a kid. And anytime I hear the ocean, that kind of always looks the same for me. You know, it's very constant. Every time you hear it, it kind of sounds the same, kind of looks the same for me. So that makes me think a lot about when I was a kid. I live in New Jersey and, you know, in America, so live by a lot of beaches, live by the shore. So that's probably the biggest one.
When you explain it like that, it sounds so nice.
Yeah.
It sounds so pleasing. Like, I felt like I was getting lulled to sleep on just the thought of it.
Yeah. Either that or it's just a really boring story.
No, it's fascinating. I find this fascinating. I really do.
Yeah.
Cool. You know, my wife and I, when we first started dating, she was kind of the same way, where everywhere we went for, you know, the first couple months, she was like, what does this look like? What is that?
Oh, yeah. You must get sick of it.
She got used to it, but...
So how does it affect you, like, in everyday life? Does it, or are you just used to it? It just is part of it? Like, I don't know.
I think that if it had come on, you know, kind of halfway through my life abruptly, it would have been horrific. You know, I think that if I didn't grow up with it, it'd be very distracting. But, you know, that's just like anybody gaining a sense. You know, science is doing things now with deaf people and helping them hear. I'm sure it would have been just like that. You know, your brain doesn't know how to process it. Mine, that's all my brain has ever known. And I would liken it to, say you guys look at a picture of the Queen of England without a caption. You see her face. Your brain says Queen of England. Because that was kind of the second involuntary thing that your mind paired with that image. For me, you know, I'll hear a chord on a piano and my brain will say that's green or that's purple. Even though, you know, that's not the association anybody else makes, but that's what mine makes. And I'm seeing that color, but it's not getting in my way. You know, I don't see the world through a purple filter when I hear purple chords. They're in two different places in my brain. I'm not really sure how best to put it.
And so, again, this question is probably another question that you're probably sick of answering, but I just find this is also fascinating. When you're having a conversation with someone, you said that you see voices as browns and purples. Are different tones? So, for example, if you're shouting, if people are shouting at you, is that different to if someone was to sort of whisper or just talk to you in a normal voice, or is it?
Oh, yeah, very, very different. It's as different to me looking as it is different to you sounding.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So it really does like link the two senses. You know? You're hearing, you're seeing and hearing the negativity at once and the positivity and.
Yeah. It's a complete, you know,
whoa.
I guess crosswire. I don't get one without the other ever. So, you know, even things that are faint, that are far away, you know, we'll be in a store, in the mall, and you know how they play the shopping music in the background and everybody's voices. And there are times that I'll pick out a song because I recognize the shape of the bass line.
Wow.
Even before I can consciously hear it, you know?
That's really cool.
That's very cool, yeah.
You also said in your email that you went to college with someone else who had synesthesia. Is that right?
I did, yeah. She saw letters and words and colors. And it's been a while since we've spoken. I think the way that it worked for her was she would associate words with colors. Yeah, and it wasn't letters, it was words. Because right. she could take the same letters and put them into different words and they would mean something different.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of manifestations of it.
So was that just through like chance that you happened to meet her? Like, how does that come up? Like, yeah. We both have synesthesia.
Yeah, no, we didn't have like a support group or anything.
Only two of you there.
Yeah. Right, it was a lonely support group. Yeah.
Wow, I just can't. I feel like I've got too many questions that I'm having to.
Oh, that's fine, man. Bring it on.
I don't know.
I don't tell a lot of people even about this, so it's cool.
I'm sure it's one of them things. Like, if you say it to someone, everyone's just going to bombard you with the questions.
Yeah. It's not even that. I don't mind answering the questions. It's just so hard to explain.
Mm.
Yeah.
How do you get your head around it? You know, it's just hard for me to understand. Your kind of reality where you don't have this.
Yeah,
you don't understand it where I do have it.
I suppose it's like if you're talking to someone who doesn't have a sense of smell and they're asking you, like, well, what's it like to smell something? Well,
sure.
Yeah, it's impossible to explain.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. And you know, I've read that people who are blind, you know, they don't see darkness, they don't see blackness, they just don't see anything.
Yeah, that's right. I can't get my head around that.
Wrap my head around as, you know, anything else.
Wow, that's nuts.
Imagine that.
No way.
It's not black, it's just nothing.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, right?
It's not black, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's nothing look like to you, Tess?
But nothing would just be your thoughts, right?
I guess, yeah.
But if you've never seen anything, what do your thoughts look like?
Well, I guess your thoughts would be super powered because you'd be heightened.
Right.
You'd be like Daredevil.
That's the first thing that comes up if someone talks about being blind. You'd be like Daredevil.
Ben Affleck.
Oh, right.
Ben Affleck. I was going to say, which Daredevil?
You're in for the Affleck one.
I've not seen the new one.
Yeah, don't worry about
it. Or Mr. McGee.
Classic. Yeah. But I think that is why I feel I've got so many questions, because it is just like, just before you said about trying to explain the sense of smell, like, that's what I likened it to. It's you, in a sense, you've got another sense, which I can't, and so I feel like a child where, again, I'm like, wow, what's it like? And yeah, so I understand you not wanting to tell everyone, or like, because yeah, it would be everything. Like, and like you said about your wife as well, like, just in one day, the amount of things that you hear, the amount of different sounds that you hear.
I've got a question. Is there anything which would be considered, like, it's hard to explain what I mean, but like a positive sound, something nice, but to you it's come across with a negative image and you can't enjoy the sound because the image is so not nice?
Yeah. Bells, like chimes, really, really irritating to look at for me.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, like wind chimes even, or church bells are rough for me.
Wow. Wow, I can imagine that. Like, they're pretty hard.
They look a lot sharper than they sound.
Yeah. Wow.
That was the first one off the top of my head. I'm sure there are others, but every time I'm, you know, around them, I'm like, oh.
I was just thinking of, is it the, I'm probably way off, but is it the Doppler effect where you hear something in the distance and then it sounds quieter and then you can hear it getting louder and louder as it passes you?
I don't know.
It's, it was on Malcolm in the Middle.
Right. That's where you're doing your research.
Yeah.
I never heard that one.
So I guess really what the question is that...
You made it up for the show.
I didn't make up. No, what's Malcolm?
For the purposes of a comedy show, they made it up. You're quoting the Doppler effect. Malcolm in the Middle.
No, because he explains it to... Oh, anyway, I don't need to do it. So are there times where, so what about like when you can hear a car in the distance? I guess is it the same as it's like in the background for you, and then it just becomes, so if it's like a quite a, like a car with a big sound to it, you know, what does that look like compared to just, I don't know.
What are you trying to get at?
I don't know. I know what I mean in my head. Come back to me.
He's getting there.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
If something's in the distance and gets closer.
Are you asking, like, if I'm hearing a lot of things at once, can I pick something out in the background?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I'm not really asking.
Are you saying that when something is far away and quiet, as it gets closer and louder, does the image kind of take over?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. If something's getting louder, getting closer, I start to see it more prominently.
Yeah.
The visual doesn't necessarily grow, it sharpens.
Right, okay.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, if there's a very, very loud sound, like an alarm or something that's very, you know, when something's so loud that it's just in your face.
Yeah.
You would actually have the image like in your face. Do you know what I mean? Does that, I'm repeating myself, because obviously you're saying everything's heightened. So obviously if it's loud and invasive, you're getting loud and invasive visuals to go with that, right?
It scares the shit out of me twice as much.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, because when you're talking about bells and chimes, I work in a school, so every time it goes off, even though I know it's coming, it makes me nervous when I look at my watch and it's like... Well, yeah, because my office is right next to one of the bells.
Right.
So when it goes off for the next lesson, even though I might look at my watch and think, oh, 20 seconds until it goes, like, it makes me nervous. So the idea of seeing it as well makes me feel like, oh, man, I don't think I
can. Yeah, I did some freelance music teaching in schools for a few years, and I tried to always keep an eye on the clock so I knew when the bell was coming.
Oh, wow. back to my thing I said about... like a positive sound having a negative image. Does that ever happen like the other way? That'll be like a kind of horrible sound, but in a weird way, it kind of looks pleasant. Or has that never been the case?
No, it was more often than not that happens with music rather than anything else. You know, there'll be songs that, like I said before, I'm the only person I know who likes, you know, a certain handful of songs just because of the way that they look.
Right.
They may not sound good.
You just get like another side to them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, I really like the way that this chord structure looks. Doesn't mean anything to anybody but me.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
When it comes to music, the idea sounds really like nice to me.
Because I love music. So the idea, music is probably one of the most important things in my life. So the idea that I could enjoy it
even more than you already do. Yeah. That's amazing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, my whole family plays, and I fell in love with it from a very young age, and, you know, I think that I kind of grew up with it in a way that nobody else really gets to, you know, seeing it and playing by hearing. So, you know, I think that if there ever were a way to get rid of it, that would kind of...
You'd lose so
much. It's a big part of me that I, you know, cherished while I was growing up, even when I wasn't sure what it was or didn't know that nobody else had it. Once I found that out, you know, I cherished it even more, I think.
Yeah. How is going to a live music event for you, like a loud music venue? How's that?
it was hard at first. I grew up touring with bands when I was a teenager through like my early 20s. And when I first kind of was getting into it, I hated live music because it was too much for me. It was hard for me to sift through everything that I was seeing and hearing, and it was hard for me to be spatially aware of where I was and what I was doing, just because it was kind of a sensory overload. Just like when you take people to their first rock concert, you know, it's a lot for anybody just hearing it. I've been with friends who were overwhelmed walking into a stadium, and, you know, like with anything else, it went double for me. I didn't like it, and... after my third or fourth concert in, I got used to it, and I fell in love with it just like everything else. I learned to appreciate. It's so much more intense, you know, when you can already hear, you know, the sound from the speakers, but when you're in the room with the speakers that are, you know, the size of you, you can feel it. So I'm hearing it, I'm feeling it in my feet, and I'm seeing it, and it's a really special experience. But, yeah, you know, it's special for anybody, so...
One thing I did just think of, because I was thinking of, like, loud music venues or...
Sure.
Just when you're in any place that's loud, like if you've been to like a loud party or something and near a massive speaker, and the next day you've got like a ringing in your ear.
Oh. I knew exactly where that question.
Yeah, when you've got that ringing in your ear, does any visuals accompany that?
Yeah, everything comes through a lot more filtered, a lot more hazy. It's just all, it's very like, if I don't really want to use the word muted for visuals, but that's what it is. I mean, yeah, it all looks muted. And I can tell what I'm seeing, you know, it's... Everyday sounds that you hear, they look the same way every day. So I know what I'm looking at. It's just, it doesn't look the way that it does every other day. Just like the way it doesn't sound the way that it does.
Wow.
I was thinking with music as well, do different genres sound different? So if you've got like heavy metal and then jazz, are they, is it that heavy metal is maybe really, really sharp and prominent and jazz is maybe a bit smoother or
smooth jazz?
Sure, yeah, no, jazz has always looked very, very liquid to me, which I like. It's pretty to look at. Jazz is beautiful to watch, especially kind of like the, I love things that are very percussive. It makes it easier for me to follow when I'm watching, because I can, you know, you can see the hit. I don't know if you guys have ever done anything with audio engineering.
You
must to some extent to mix the show, I guess.
You're being too kind to us.
Well, you know, when you're looking at wavelengths, if you're trying to cut out a portion of the show, you can kind of see the spikes in the sound. Maybe you can see the pattern of somebody's voice in the vocal wavelength, and you say, "Oh, I want to cut it right before Bob says something stupid."
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's usually the case.
So you can kind of pick it out by looking at it when everything gets louder. Maybe that's where you guys laughed at them. Like for me, it's harder when I'm watching strings or brass, woodwinds, because I can't pick out
the transients.
I can't see a rhythm in it.
Yeah, it's transients, isn't it? It's like transient.
Yeah, so I guess that's the biggest difference. If I'm watching rock or if I'm watching pop, it's very, very easy to follow for me when I'm watching it.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, occasionally I really enjoy listening to classical music, and I find it easier to listen to it if I close my eyes. Which I don't know why, I just do it. And
that's great to listen to when you're really high. Fucking nuts.
There are definitely things that I like to listen to with my eyes shut, so I could focus more on how it looks.
All right, so even when your eyes are shut, you're seeing the visuals in the darkness.
I don't ever see anything out in the world that you see with your eyes open. It's all
It'd be like in the
oh wow mind, yeah. Oh yeah,
like
of course.
I said, you know, I'm hearing it, my brain is telling me what I'm looking at.
Yeah, of course. It's not going to be floating around in the, it's just, oh, sorry, that's stupid of me, but it's so strange. Yeah, I'm thinking of like things floating around in the world, but it's internal, isn't it? Of course.
Yeah entirely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
and as far as like the playing by ear thing goes, I would liken that to, if you were to look at something and then try to draw it based on how it looks, that's kind of what it feels like. You know, I had to learn how to play the piano first, how it worked, how to make the sounds that I was seeing. So, you know, I hear a C chord, and then I figure out how to make a C chord on the piano. So now I know that when I'm looking at that chord, these are the keys that I press to recreate. So it kind of took years of noodling and teaching myself that before I could do it kind of without thinking about it.
Yeah.
So like if you were to look at an elephant, you know, you're not going to draw it perfect, but you can draw the shape that you're looking at. That's kind of how I use instruments, is when I hear something, I can kind of draw it back to myself on an instrument.
Right. That's really interesting.
And that's the only way that I know how to play. And now I'm a songwriter, so...
That's great.
Wow. It's really kind of shaped my life.
So we, you guys got more questions?
I can't think of anything right now. I think I'm done.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing I'm gonna go to bed and I'll be thinking about it and I'll just have loads of questions. But right now, that's enough. My mind's blown.
Sure.
For some reason, really prominent in my mind. Have you ever heard Tool before?
No, I don't think so.
Oh man, I was just wondering what Tool looked like.
Was you just thinking of certain things? Because I was going to ask.
No, because they're like a really percussive metal band. It's so good. It's like, I want to know what that fucking looks like.
Send it to me and I'll send you my review.
Yes! Yes!
I definitely encourage you guys, if there's anybody else listening out there who has different kinds of synesthesia, it'll probably be a totally different interview. I mean, I've lived with this my whole life, and it's not weird to me, but I read stories about the things that other people experience, and I'm like, that's so weird.
Yeah, yeah. So you do kind of get how weird it is for us, because, you know, the other forms are weird for you too.
Yeah. I mean, I read about one where if somebody touches something or somebody else, they feel it on their own body.
Yeah, we were just talking about that, yeah.
How does that work?
You see someone else being touched, and you feel the feeling that they're getting. It's so strange.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to ask, when you're asleep,
mm-hmm.
what does your alarm clock look like when it wakes you up in the morning?
The worst.
So just like the sound then, it's just the worst.
I set my alarm clock to music years ago, once smartphones became a thing, that was a lifesaver. But, you know, when I was younger, before that, and it was just an old-fashioned alarm clock, I never slept through it.
No way.
Like,
sure,
it's blinding, man. It's bad.
Wow. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Mm. Thanks for having me, guys.
I really appreciate it.
No, it was great. Great talking to you, mate.
Sure. Have a good night, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks mate.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah,
take care.
That is definitely one of the most fascinating conversations I've ever had.
Email it now while I remember.
Leave me a note. I'll email when I'm gone, because I need to get the email back up. Choose a song and I'll send it to him. I'll get him to send his review, and then I'll read his review out at the end of the show. I
can't wait to hear the review
when I edit it.
Yeah.
Wow, what do you think of that, Beef?
That was insane.
Yeah?
There's so many.
I knew it'd be interesting. Cool. I knew I wanted to give it this episode.
Yeah. Because, I mean, just right from... Just the sounds are everywhere. So mm-hmm. how can you... Like, I don't know. I wanted to sit there and be like, what does a donkey sound like? What does a cat sound like?
I can totally relate to that, though, because it's just what we feel. We have emotions attached to certain sounds, right? But it's just heightened. He's just heightened.
Well done.
I finished it, yeah.
And you finished the beer?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a heightened...
It's going to sound like it took you a whole week.
Yeah. I feel like it.
it's like a heightened version of what we feel.
Yeah.
Because we do get attachments to sound, it's just not to that level. And I feel like... differentiate them.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it would definitely influence your life as well. Like,
yeah.
If there's something... It's heightening his sense of sound, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, you're going to be interested in music and sound.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's just, you're getting so much more out of it. Think how much you get out of music that you love.
Mm.
Like a song you love, how much you get out of it.
Mm.
And then how much more... To think you can get more out of it.
But when you're writing, like, when you're writing music, it's all about vibe. It's all about getting into the vibe. So it'd be easier to get into a vibe if you've got that. I mean, I'm guessing, maybe.
It feels like he's got a superpower.
Yeah.
I desperately want.
Yeah.
But I do get...
I want to get people with different forms of synesthesia and get them together and form the S-Men.
I was thinking, I didn't ask him, we'd asked him enough, but I was thinking, imagine as a teenager, like as an 18-year-old going to a party, a house party with all those voices.
I don't think it would be enjoyable.
Well, no, because everything's loud. Everyone's shouting at each other. The music's really loud. Like, it would be... That'd be awful. So it would have an impact on your social life, because as an 18-year-old, you want
to
party.
It's like you're saying, the first few gigs you went to, it's too much.
Mm.
It's not enjoyable.
And I can imagine, like, when he said about jazz being liquid.
Yeah, that's exactly how I imagined it.
Yeah.
Flowing, smooth jazz.
I was thinking, that makes total sense.
Wow.
Just amazing.
Okay.
Very, very interesting.
Well, I'm going to email him that Tool song that Tiss wants him to get a review of.
Yeah.
Insert a clip of me saying his reaction.
And can you insert a bit of the song as well?
I'll insert a little bit of the song and his reaction to it now. I heard back from Greg, guys.
All right, awesome.
Synesthesia Greg.
Is this going into an episode?
It'll go into his episode. which goes up in a couple of weeks. I've edited an episode, but I'll just insert this little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. I'm looking. I've been waiting for his answer.
Okay. So I got this email the next day after I'd sent him the song that Tiss told me to send, which was "Jambi" by Tool, which I'll insert a little clip of now. Okay, this is what he said. "That Tool song is pretty gnarly and actually quite beautiful to watch. Dark blues and greens, curls and swirls, not too many hard edges. Something about the guitar tone gives a really unique texture, which reminded me of something I should have mentioned last night. The sound of a song, instrumentation, performance, tone, etc., completely defines colour and texture for me, whereas the content of the song itself, chord structure, melody, lyrics, defines the shape. So when I listen to covers or play the song myself on piano, I'm looking at more or less the same shapes as the original song, but in different dressings.
Whoa.
There are some tunes I enjoy watching just because of the way the track is produced, and they don't look as great when covered and given a new texture. And conversely, some songs I don't enjoy until I hear a good cover of them."
That's amazing.
Yeah, I thought so.
Absolutely crazy.
Wow.
He also said, "I get a lot of requests from friends and family to draw or paint what I'm seeing when I listen to music. Unfortunately, I'm shit at painting. But somebody else did it quite well. As we talked about Kandinsky on our episode, he drew our attention to another artist who used synesthesia. So I'll put some of her stuff on the blog as well. And that's Melissa McCracken. She did a lot of synesthesia paintings. And he says what she's done is very similar to the sort of visuals that he experiences.
Okay.
So if you want to sort of see the same sort of thing that Greg experiences, check out the blog and there'll be some of Melissa's work on there.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
That's way better than I was expecting in his answer to be.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so deep, yeah.
So there you go.
I would never have asked him, but what would a fart look like?
I'll email that as well.
Can that? That's mine. If
mine was
one,
the alarm clock, I needed to hear it. I needed to know what an alarm clock was like.
I was thinking alarm clock. I need to know what a fart looks
right,
like.
Okay, I'll ask fart, and I'll ask. I bet it's green and gassy. Look like Abe's Odyssey, but you know.
Yeah, but think about it, right? Because if you do like a really short, sharp, like, would it be like a horrible, like, whoa?
Yeah.
But he's doubly offended by a bad fart.
Do you think you can differentiate, like, who farted as well? Like, no, that looks like one of yours.
Do you think you'd see a silent fart?
Like, who farted? Come on, I know someone did.
If a fart blows in the room and no one's around to see it.
This episode's gone right down the path. Anyway, I will insert now what you said about the fart as well. Beef, I got a response back from your question as well.
What, my really deep, sensible question?
Yeah, he put a PS at the end of the email for this.
Oh.
PS, a good hearty fart usually looks like a wigglier version of the bursts you see in comic books with sound effects written in them. Though, like anything else, they vary with tone and delivery.
I'm so glad I asked.
You're satisfied with that answer?
I'm so satisfied.
Right, okay, cool. That's great. Awesome. Also, he did mention when we talked to him that he is a songwriter himself. Mm. And I emailed him back and forth about this a little bit as well. And he performed in a band and toured for a little while. Roughly, I think it was about 5 years ago, 4 years ago or something, they stopped playing together. But they toured for a while together and recorded a couple of albums. He actually sent me both the albums they recorded.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So as the outro music to this episode, I'm going to play one of Greg's tracks in its entirety for everyone to enjoy.
Wicked. That's great.
And I'll also put links on the blog to the rest of his work, because you can find a lot of his stuff on YouTube. So I'll link you over if you want to hear more of his stuff. His band is called The Agony Family. So I'll put a track by The Agony Family at the end of this episode.
Nice.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks, Greg.
And all that stuff will be on the blog, like I said.
Wow. If he says about the bar,
he will.
No, I have to. I have to know.
Okay, I'm gonna be like, I'm sorry, this is really embarrassing to ask, but Beef has to know.
Okay.
All right.
Right. Someone must have asked him that.
Yeah. Are we ready to wrap?
Yep.
Okay, so I hope you've enjoyed this little mini-sode. And if you want to contact us about anything, if you've got synesthesia and get in contact, we'd love to hear from you too. Or if you want to email us about anything else as well, it's unexplainableuk@mail.com. The blog, which I'll put the song by Tool on, is weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.blogspot.com. You can find us on facebook.com/weirdtalesandtheunexplainable. And we're also on Twitter at Bob Shoy.
At Mastermind Luke.
Tissy baby.
Ooh, tissy baby.
You did the same thing last week. Or an hour ago. At tissy baby. Yeah, okay. So until next time.
Synesthesia later.
Synesthesia later. That's not too bad, actually.
Yeah.
We are done in, 'cause we stole one. Fortune never gave us. Now we are running out of pages, and nobody will save us. You want power, it will be there.
I want to cut it right before Bob says something stupid.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.